heading into our last hour of Ghost to Ghost, and I just want to start by picking up where we left off with Andrew's story. He was sharing a story from New Mexico. Now, I don't know what Andrew's parentage is. He talked about his father, and I don't know whether there is any Mexican-American family tradition for Andrew. But the story he told reminded me of a story that I had heard from somebody else who identified it as a Mexican cautionary tale. The story Andrew told about something his father said had happened at a dance hall with a tall movie star, handsome stranger who was at this dance, who was, you know, being celebrated by three or four women at the same time dancing with him. High level of animal magnetism. Everybody's paying attention to this guy. And then they realizing the clacking that they're hearing on the dance floor are not his shoes, but of hooves, and that there's a poof and a disappear and then the smell of sulfur. And they've never, you know, took him a long time to get the smell of sulfur out of the dance hall. And then the burn in the floor is still there. Now, could be totally unrelated, not saying Andrew's dad isn't being truthful. But that story has been around for a long time. And it, in fact, there's a Canadian version of that. And there's a very interesting and I think similar sounding Mexican version of that I'll share with you in just a second. But they all share a similar theme, except for what Andrew hadn't mentioned was whether or not there was a significance to the dance. In that, in some versions, I hear it's a dance that's being held on a Sunday. So this was a cautionary tale for no dancing on Sunday. And sometimes it's presented as a dance during a holiday season where one was intended, to be more observant of a somber mood, say, for example, during Lent or during the Easter season. And or it's just a cautionary tale like this one. This one actually comes directly from Mexico. And the version of the story I will read verbatim. It says here it was submitted by a woman who said this story was told to me by my grandmother. It happened when she was about 40 years old. She was at a wedding dance, newly divorced, still very attractive. She was approached by a dark-haired gentleman, very tall and attractive. She described him as looking like a movie star. He walked up to her, wearing a long black overcoat, and held out his hand. She said he never spoke a word, but she was so amazed that this handsome man wanted to dance with her that she accepted. She said that he was an incredible dancer, very strong. He whispered for her to come outside the dance hall with him and come to his car. Luckily, my grandmother wasn't that kind of a lady. She refused, and he simply stopped in the middle of the dance floor and walked out. Now, my grandmother was turning to go back to her seat when her friend ran up to her and began pointing at the departing stranger. And that's where they saw, below his pants, black shoes had now become black hooves. The black hooves were below red, hairy legs, and swishing underneath the rim of his jacket was a long, red, hairy tail with a red tip. And the man turned to them as if he had sensed them and held up a finger, shh, to his mouth, and then gave them a wink and left. My grandmother used the story to warn me that the devil comes in many guises, including those of incredibly handsome and dashing men. And she's never forgotten her dance with the devil. Well, just adding that onto our Halloween night fair, not exactly a ghost story, but a good one nonetheless. And what did really, though, happen to you? That's what makes these stories so special, and we'll get back to them next. More of Ghost to Ghost. This is Ian Punnett. All right, let's just tell you up front, we've got a guy calling from China that I will get to sooner as opposed to later. Craig is in Utah, however, on Ghost to Ghost. Craig?
Hello.
How are you? Happy Halloween.
Yes, thank you. Well, my story started about, I guess, about 22 years ago. my son and I was going deer hunting. I had to work a little late, and we was going up to a cabin on the mountain where my dad and a bunch of these friends, people were up there camped already. We got there a little late in the evening, and we just went in and went right to bed in a cot in the hallway. And I got him tucked in, and I lay in there and lit up a cigarette. This little boy come walking up to the side of me there, and looked over at him, and I asked him, "What are you doing, little fella? Are you looking for the bathroom?" He didn't say anything. He just kind of turned around and went over into the bedroom where my sister was sleeping. And a couple minutes later, this lady got up, come walking by us in there in the hallway, and went downstairs. And a couple minutes later, she come walking back past us. 2 minutes later, a man walked by us, went downstairs, come back up past us, and I stopped the man and asked him if he had a little boy in there. I thought he was lost. He looked like he was looking for the bathroom. He didn't said they didn't have no children with them. I found that just quite amazing. I got to thinking about it after that, and I didn't really see any feet on the little guy. He just kind of floated away. Just to my mind, there's no doubt in my mind, I was wide awake, smoking a cigarette, and that little fella was no more than a foot and a half face-to-face with me.
How about that? And that was the end of it. There's nobody that came through later on. Have you seen this child? Nothing? Nobody making
never,
any claim?
Never anything again. The only thing was, on the way into the cabin, there was a sharp turn on the road on the way in there, and there was two little white crosses there. I got asking about them the next day, and there was two young boys that died there a few years ago in a camper that flipped over.
Mm. Well, Craig, that's very interesting, and always sad when the ghosts are children. But fascinating. Thank you. And Connie is in Tucson on Ghost to Ghost. Connie?
Good morning, Ian.
Happy Halloween.
Thank you. Well, about 13, 14 years ago, I was back east with a friend, and we were just traveling around, and I came back early and left her back there. And it was about 11:30 at night. I was house-sitting for her, and I decided it was time to turn the light out and go to bed, which I did. And I was lying there, not asleep yet, because I had just climbed in bed, started to settle in, and all of a sudden, the middle of the bed, it was a sofa bed. It had that chicken wire, whatever, looked like pig wire, whatever, kind of springs. And it went creak, and right in the middle of the bed under me, the whole bed lifted up. And then it creaked right back down. And I thought, what in the world?
Mm.
And about that time, I heard what sounded like heavy drumming of your fingers.
Right.
Like on a card table. It was a loud, hollow drumming. That went on for quite a while, and I kind of got my wits together, reached over and turned on the light, and the drumming kept going. So I said, "Who's here?" "It's just drumming." "Who's here?" It just kept drumming. I said, "Whoever you are, whatever your problem is, I tend to be a bit clairvoyant. I think you're a boy, 12, 13 years old. It was about midnight, so it was kind of weird and, you know, strange.
Right.
And I said, do you need to find your way? If you do, just look around and you'll see a light. You walk into that light and there will be someone there to meet you."
Hmm.
Well, and the drumming stopped and he left.
I'll be darned. That's interesting. You know, that's probably good advice for anybody that, thank you, Connie, for like the story we had earlier from somebody who was doing construction, home construction, and they were having a ghost there. Or anytime, you might as well say, hey, if you see a light, go to it. Maybe that's the first time they've ever gotten that advice. I mean, if that's really what happens and that people can't seem to find the door to the next dimension or to the next level of experience, of spiritual experience, you know, who knows? Very interesting. Thank you. Michael is in China on Ghost to Ghost. Hey, Michael.
Hi, Ian. Thanks for taking my call. And good afternoon from the Middle Kingdom. It's already 4:19 here. So,
Tell me about what brings you to China?
Well, look, like a lot of Americans, I just had that middle-class malaise, and I said, man, I got to get out and try something else. So I took a leap into the deep end, and boy, there was an abyss right below me. But I came to China, and I taught English for a year, of all things. And right now, I've gotten into some consulting business with another American that I met here, and it's going pretty well. I enjoy my time here.
Are there many other Americans that you bump into, and how is your Chinese?
You know, my Chinese is pretty good. I'll say, 大家你好, 你们好. That just means basically, everybody hello.
Okay.
At any rate, the American population here, I'm in South Central China. I'm in a big city called Chongqing. It's the biggest city you never heard of. And no, I don't see a lot of Americans here. The population of expatriates in different countries is only about 10,000, and the total city population is maybe 5 million. So,
how about that? Very interesting. Yeah. Well, thank you. So is this a ghost story of what happened to you in China?
No, actually, it's not. This is a story that happened to me when I was really very young. And so what happened was, from the time I was very young, I had a very clear, vivid memory of late one night. I was in my crib, and something woke me up. And look through the bars of my crib, past my feet. At the window, I see this shadow, and it is pure black. It absorbs light. And the eyes were the most striking feature. They were radiant, bright white. And it's looking right at me, and this entity puts its right hand to the window as if to say, I'm watching you. And in a two-year-old fashion, I was able to determine I was 2 years old at the time. I stuck my tongue out at this thing, and I put the blanket over my head. I paused, pulled the blanket back down. Now it's inside my room looking down at me over the crib. I put the blanket back over my head, and I wait for morning. I fell asleep at some point. Well, I was able to figure out that I was only two by describing the layout of the room to my parents, because, you see, this memory is so vivid that everything about the features of the room I was able to remember along with this memory. I described the room to my parents, and they said, well, you would have been about 2 years old at that time. I finally told the story to my mother when I was 10, and she kind of withdrew from me for a couple of days, and I finally got her to open up. She told me that a year prior to my memory, when I was only 1 year old, that my bed at that time was in her room with her and my father. And she said she woke up one night to the sound of me shivering as though I were very cold. She looked down to my crib, and she saw this black shape. She said it looked like a man, but it was completely black, as if it were absorbing light. And she said that it was looking down into my crib, and it stood up, and it had these two white, radiant, bright white eyes. And it was the same thing that I saw at a totally different time. And she said that it seemed upset that she saw it, and she said that it took about three steps backwards and melted into the wall, just completely disappeared. And the experience for her was so out of context, she didn't know how to react, so she just went back to sleep. But what's interesting for me is that you can say that, well, what I experienced was just some sort of a bad dream or, you know, a two-year-old fantasy. But the reality is that she saw a year prior the exact same entity in almost the exact same context.
Hmm.
And I thought it was a very interesting confirmation of a very bizarre experience for myself.
That is interesting. And the fact that it is intergenerational, too, and different time frames, but overlapping. So thank you, Michael, all the way from China. That just goes to show you the reach of ghost to ghost. We're going from the West Ghost of the United States all the way to foreign ghosts. Diane is in Illinois on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, Diane.
Happy Halloween, Ian.
And to you, too. Boo.
Boo. Mine is a relative ghost, and we have a basement. The stairs are carpeted. Halfway down the stairs is an opening where the carpet overlaps. Ever since I was a toddler and first went down the basement stairs, I would stop halfway down, open that little carpet flap, look under the stairs, and if I didn't see a shadow of anything, I'd go down the stairs the rest of the way. And when I was 11, I went down the stairs, went behind the stairs, and ran smack into this ghost. Argyle sweater, pinstripe pants, saddle shoes, glasses, bald man, sort of short, little chunky. Didn't recognize him, didn't know anything about him. You know, went upstairs. My mom was doing dishes. And I said, anybody die in this house? And she said, your grandmother's brother died of a heart attack looking out the living room window watching the sunset. Now, the living room window, directly above that area where he was behind the stairs. And I knew he was there ever since I was a wee, wee little girl. And I would always stop halfway down the stairs and open that flap and see if it was clear, because I always had this little heebie-jeebie feeling.
Sure.
And when I saw him and he disappeared in front of me, never felt his presence again.
He just wanted to be seen by somebody, and you wouldn't open the flap, so he had to come to you.
1954. 1954 is when he died. I was born in 1967.
That's really interesting, and I love the description of the clothing, too, and the fact that that right away there was an explanation. Thank you, Diane. Appreciate that. Another great ghost-to-ghost story. True story on a wildcard line. Is it, am I pronouncing this right, Hinkle in Las Vegas?
Yeah, that's right. Just wanted to first start off with a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Happy Halloween.
Thank you. Happy Halloween to you, too, even though it's now the first. Anyway, my story begins when I get home from work at about 9 o'clock at night, and normally I just sit around my apartment and watch TV. And I was in a new house that I just started renting, and I was just watching movies. It's about midnight, and I swear I hear someone in my room. And I live in kind of a bad part of town, so I always lock the windows and doors just because I don't want anyone to break in. And so I go and investigate the noise, and in my room there's this beautiful woman wearing this long, silken, flowing robe, and I'm just dumbstruck, and I can't even speak. And I start just trying to think, like, what is this woman? Who is she? I've never seen her before in my life. And before I could say anything, she comes up to me and starts kissing me and caressing me. And we ended up making love that night. And I say it's probably the best experience of my life. But as soon as I was done climaxing, bam, she was gone and disappeared. And come to find out, about 3 months after that incident, that the house I was renting actually used to be an illegal prostitution ring, and that the person that was running it, madam, ended up dying violently in a deal gone wrong.
So you think that the madam, even after death, was still turning tricks?
I didn't pay, but yeah, I think so. The spirit was strong.
You don't ask a lot of questions, do you, when it comes to sex?
I couldn't. She was beautiful, and I just couldn't speak. I was, like I said,
you were good to go.
I was.
And thank you, Hinkle. I appreciate that. Some people would say that story's a little hinky, but I would say no. That's like a lot of guys' fantasies. That's the perfect sort of, you know, letter to penthouse sort of fantasy. I never thought this would have happened to me. And for a lot of guys, that's just what they want, you know, the woman to come on to them, for them to finish, and then she disappears. That's like, for some people, that's a dream relationship. And yet, with another half hour to go, who knows what more we might still hear as Ghost to Ghost continues. On Coast to Coast AM, this is Ian Punnett. Last half hour of our original feed here for Ghost to Ghost. I say that because, of course, for many stations there will be a replay, and for some there will even be another hour that'll be added to the show because of the time change tonight. We're falling back. We may already have fallen back in whatever market you're in, and there's even a very high percentage of a chance I'm hearing right now that you're not hearing me right now, that there has been some sort of interruption along the line, ghost to ghost, and that the stations that are ordinarily carrying this broadcast right now aren't carrying it. Some people are still listening online, obviously, but there is something that has happened. I don't know what spirit we may have offended, or maybe it's just a satellite problem, or maybe it's a technical problem with the time change. Nobody's quite certain, except that we're working on it. And everybody who's hanging on right now, we will get to you. And we'll get to you between now and the top of the hour. Thank you for hanging on during this period, even though a lot of stations are down along the network. And we look forward to other people being able to hear this later on in the podcast. If you don't have Streamlink, you should get it. And here's the reason why. Exactly what you're experiencing right now on Ghost to Ghost AM. This is Ian Punnett. First-time caller line, Max, has been hanging on in Novato, California, on Coast to Coast, or Ghost to Ghost tonight. And happy Halloween, Max.
Happy Halloween, Ian. I'm just calling tonight to tell you a story that happened about 11 years ago to me. I was about 8 years old then, and I was living in a different house in Novato, and it was on the upper floors. And there's nobody else around. So at about 3 a.m. every night, for a week until I moved from that house, I would wake up and there would be a knocking at my door. And it would pause for about 3 seconds in between, but there would be a loud knock at the door. And it was definitely a knock. It wasn't just house sounds. And for about 11 years, I didn't really know what that was, and I had looked it up on the internet everywhere. And what I had come to believe is that it might have been a demon. Just going back to, I had seen Paranormal Activity recently.
Right.
And how they had gone into, you have to agree to let it in. And that's also from what I've read online. The only other people who've had this experience, they say the people who have opened that door for whatever it was on the other side of that have run into demon problems down the line. And, So you had mentioned earlier you weren't exactly sure what your definition of a demon might be. And I think Paranormal Activity covered that pretty well, just in the way they describe it as it's not a human spirit, but anything that's got the kind of poltergeist activity associated with it, and it feeds off the imagination and the belief in it, and the more belief that you have in it, the more powerful it becomes. And at that time, I had done some things that probably weren't the smartest things. Being an eight-year-old, spells were really cool. So I had gotten some books from the local library, some cult books, and had been playing around with that.
When you were 8 years old, you had done this?
Yeah, I had a weird kind of family thing, because I had my Florida grandparents, which are the real religious Baptist types, and my Southern California grandparents, which were the atheists of the family. So I was kind of looking somewhere in between for that, and I wasn't
aware. So halfway in between atheism and Southern Baptists is the occult.
Well, it wasn't. I wasn't thinking that it would be
the demon
side of that. You know, it's more the spells. You know, your kid. You think, well, that would be fun.
Yeah. But. So, interesting. So, yeah, I think it's fair enough. I mean, I think the movie, I don't want to put too fine a point on their definitions in Paranormal Activity. In fact, I even went back and I looked up some things, and I don't know that everybody would agree with those, but it is a great starting point for a conversation and worthy of seeing. And I'm almost afraid of giving too much of that movie away because I enjoyed it. I wasn't terrified by it. Movies just don't scare me, but it had some pretty good moments in there. You know, a couple of good woo kind of moments. And if you like that kind of a movie, this is a great weekend to see it. Kim is in Sacramento on Ghost to Ghost. Kim?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, good morning.
And to you.
I wanted to tell you a story of the first apartment that I lived in. It was actually in Stockton. It was a 1920s four-story brick building. It had an elevator that was broken, so we lived on the fourth floor, and we had to walk up the stairs to get to our apartment, and we're actually leaving our apartment. We got down to the second floor, and I realized I forgot the cell phone, so my boyfriend went down to the car, and I went back up for the cell phone. I walked into the apartment, and I was looking around, and I found it on the bed and went to grab it. It was a studio apartment, and so my television was right there next to my bed, And as I grabbed the cell phone, I turned back around to go towards the door. The television was behind me with this this lamp that we had right on top of it. And directly across the room, which would be at my face, was a very large mirror. And as soon as my eyes came up and saw the mirror, I saw the lamp coming at me straight across the room like it was going to hit me. And it actually was it looked to be an old oil lamp, but it actually was electric and had a cord connected to, was plugged into a circuit breaker that had a bunch of other stuff plugged into it. And as soon as it hit, I guess the extent of the lamp's cord, I saw this in the mirror. The light bulb busted right in midair, right behind me, and it fell to the floor, and I heard a big crash, and I flipped around to look at it, and it had broken in half, and if you can picture, like, the bottom of an oil lamp, the larger part,
right.
it should be hanging from a cord. It was coming from behind the television, and it was kind of hanging in front of the television, and the bottom part, the larger part, should be hanging from the cord, but it's actually above the bottom of the cord, and it was swinging back and forth, and I was kind of just frozen there, pitch black in the dark in this old building, and I just looked at it, and I freaked, and I ran all the way downstairs, all the way to the, and my boyfriend said, "It looks like you've seen a ghost," and I couldn't even say anything, and
right.
Then we actually, we stayed gone for 2 days. I was so freaked out. We came back after 2 days to move out, and I realized that it had been exactly 1 year. It was the night before we had moved in 1 year ago when this happened. And when I got back, we were moving all our stuff. I had a guitar that was next to a window, and this guitar was out of tune. And I don't know if you know, when a guitar is in a temperature where, you know, if it's cold, the strings go out of tune.
Right.
And I had it by this window for 3 weeks, and it was kind of out of tune. And then I had tuned it like a week before this happened. And I picked up the guitar after we went back to the apartment, and it was horribly out of tune. I picked up my guitar tuner, and every single note from E to E was exactly one note flat, and it was a real, really bad guitar. I had a hard time even getting it to the notes. It was exactly one note flat, and the house was extremely cold, and it was just the weirdest thing that had ever happened to me, which is what caused me to start believing.
Yeah, but I mean, that's interesting. I mean, that very particular thing about the guitar, but that's something that that's very intriguing. That if it was just that much off, and I love the fact that these stories that we're hearing tonight on Ghost to Ghost all tend to go in different directions. And let's see where Hillary takes us from Encino, California. You're on Ghost to Ghost, Hillary.
Yes, hi, Ian. Happy Halloween.
And to you, too.
Well, back in 2002, on Halloween night, I had been giving out candy for, you know, hours, and finally it was about 9:30, and it slowed down. I thought, well, that's it. I think that's going to be the end of giving out any candy. I'll close everything up. And as I looked out my front window across the street where my neighbor had his light on, I saw what looked like a child in black, all in black. It sort of was about 3.5 feet tall, 3 feet tall. It even looked like it came to a point on top as if it might have a witch's hat on. And I thought, my goodness, there it is. And this little child is right behind the neighbor's car in the driveway, but there are no adults anywhere around. So I went to the porch, and I looked out again, and I looked up and down the street to see if there were some adults, and there was no one. And so then I walked out onto the lawn, and I got closer and closer, and this creature or this phenomenon was still there behind the taillight of my neighbor's car. And it was black, totally black. You couldn't see through it. And as I approached the sidewalk and then down to the curb, I was now getting very close. And all of a sudden, as I was probably about, I would say, 8 yards away from the character, the creature, whatever, it just swished. It went whoosh like that and went right around the back of the car in a sweeping manner, sort of like something that you would computer generate, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it went around the side of the car up towards the garage, towards the house. And the movement was completely inhuman. There's nothing that could ever move that way. And I was really close enough to see that this wasn't anything that was wrong with my vision. I mean, this wasn't something that was manifesting from my eyes.
Right.
So I thought, oh, my gosh, where did it go? I looked around the cars. I looked up towards the garage and the gate to the backyard. And I couldn't see anything there, but it had no chance to go right or left. So I went to my neighbor's door, and I said, will you check your backyard to see if there's a little kid back there? And he thought I was nuts, and he said, okay. And he went back, and he checked it, and there's nothing back there. And So then I told him what I saw, and, of course, he thought I was taking something or doing something and drinking.
Right. Well, but you weren't, and like
no, I wasn't.
Right, of course you weren't. Well, very good. Thank you, Hillary, and thank you for hanging on. We have a couple other people we'll get to before the top of the hour, like Mike, who's in Louisville on Ghost to Ghost. Mike,
how you doing?
Doing all right, Mike. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you, sir. I finally got through to you guys. I've been trying for weeks to get a hold of y'all. I've got a great story for you. This goes back probably, close to 20 years, back when I was about 11, 12 years old. We used to have all the kids in my neighborhood come over, and we'd have little slumber parties at our house and things like that. And I was the guy that always liked to try to scare everybody with some kind of silly story and things like that. And there was a little old lady whose yard backed up against ours, and she was kind of really reclusive and didn't talk to many people and things like that. So, you know, she was a really easy target for me to make up stuff about her just to scare my friends and things. And this one night we're sitting around and I was telling them that, you know, she was a witch and things like this. And at night, if you go over to her bedroom window, you could kind of sometimes hear her, you know, doing these really weird chants and things like that. So I had them really convinced of this whole, you know, silly story. And I snuck out the backyard, and I was going to sneak up to the back of her window and let them think that, you know, something was going on, and they're all sitting there waiting for me to, you know, tell them what's going on. Well, I get maybe 20 feet from the back of her house.
Yeah.
And this is like, you know, 1 in the morning, something like that. And all of a sudden, the window blind goes flying up, and this light turns on in the bedroom, and it scares the bejesus out of me. I take off running across the yard. I fly past my friends. We run into the basement, and we're hiding down there. And everybody's freaked out, and I'm more freaked out than anybody because, you know, I was full of it, you know?
Sure.
And so as the night goes on, we keep looking out the back window, and sometimes the light in the bedroom's on, sometimes it's off, sometimes the blind is all the way down, sometimes it's up. It was just really, really weird. Well, I mowed grass for like a summer job, and her grass was one of the lawns that I had mowed. And at the end of the week, I was mowing the grass, and her sister kind of came and checked on her and would pay me to mow the grass and things. And at the end of the week, she came and she paid me, and she said, hey, you know, we'd like you to keep on mowing the grass until we get the house sold. And I said, oh, and I thought maybe, you know, she was, you know, moving, or maybe they were putting her into an old folks home or something like that.
Sure.
And I asked how she was, and she said, oh, you didn't hear that she had passed away. And I said, no, when? And she says, about 2 weeks ago. And I said, no, that can't be. And she says, no, it was about 2 weeks ago, but, you know, we want you to keep mowing the grass. And I said, no, and I said, you know, we were spending the night, and we had this slumber party last Friday night. And this light came on in her bedroom and everything. I said, has anybody been in the house? Because I thought maybe somebody had broke in and was snooping around or anything.
Sure.
And she said, no, nobody broke in or anything, but it can't be that weekend you're talking about. And I said, no, it was. And you know, houses that don't have the ceiling lights in the rooms, and they just have a plug and a light switch, and you have to have a floor lamp.
Yeah.
Well, they had already cleared out a lot of her stuff, and she said her bedroom had no light in it whatsoever. So I still to this day have no clue what this light was, what was going on in this room, or anything.
How about that? Wow. And that might fall into the orb category.
I have no idea, but it's still, you know, I still have no idea.
Right. Well, take a look at that online. You might be the ghost orb, the ghost light, you know, the non-human form, but the bright light. And very interesting. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. And a great way to almost end the show tonight. We have to lead that probably up to Lonnie, who will take us up to the top of the hour for Ghost to Ghost. Lonnie?
Good morning.
Boo to you.
I was in radio for approximately 40 years, and the radio station owner was killed in an accident, and I was the only one in the building one night sometime after that, and something spoke my name at the front door. Of course, I was in the very, very back corner of the building, and there was nothing there. I saw nothing. Another time, I was working on something and felt his presence standing over my shoulder. There are a number of other things, light switches going on and off, and others had seen this also. Something else more recently, a member of my church had very serious mental problems over the years and tried suicide a number of times, and finally killed himself, and I'd always meant to call and go by and visit him, but just never got around to it. But one night, I just, in my spirit, heard him say, "It's all right. There was nothing you could have done." And as I said, I've never seen a ghost, but I have felt them being around. I used to go camping a lot in the campsite where I used to camp. I never felt alone, although there may be nobody else around for 100 yards, but later found out that someone had died in that campsite. So I'd like to become more in tune with the spirit world in understanding more. But
well, you certainly have had a lot of experiences as a head start, Lonnie, and the great way to wrap us up to say there's – wouldn't it be nice if every ghost came back to give us good news? Well, let's have to leave it right there. Thank you, everybody, who made this show so special tonight. These are your stories, captured forever. Ghost to Ghost AM. They use Tiamat, and I do too.